In this video, I'll show you how to use the Dynamic Populate Extender that ships as part of the Microsoft Ajax Control Toolkit. The Dynamic Populate Extender is a clever control extender that lets you implement dynamic partial page updates, automatically updating the content within an ASP.NET panel without having to write the network callback logic yourself. So to get started, we'll fire up Visual Web Developer, create a new website, make an Ajax Control Toolkit website. The first thing that I'm going to do is include a CSS file into my solution so that I can use the CSS classes that it contains in my ASPX page. So in order to get to them, I'm going to have to create a reference to the CSS file in my page. And now we're ready to start building out the content of the page. So what this page is going to do is it's going to have a collection of radio buttons and allow the user to choose what format they want to see the current server date and time in. So to begin with, here in the div, I'm just going to include a collection of radio buttons. And just so you don't have to watch me fiddle, I've used cut and paste to pop them in my page here. But note that I have four radio buttons, and each one of them is the same name, RB format, so this is a mutually exclusive collection of radio buttons, and each has an onClick event that calls this JavaScript method updateDateKey, passing in its value, and we'll define this JavaScript function momentarily. But note each of the values that are available here. So there's G, small d, big D, and capital U. And these are going to be used to determine what format the user wants to see the current date and time on the server. And notice cap D, small d, and G are actually the string specifiers that will be used to format that. And if the value is U, then we'll just use UTC time. Each time somebody makes a selection, this JavaScript method is getting called. So we need to define that JavaScript function. And the JavaScript function needs to be defined below the script manager because we're going to call something in the sys namespace. So here's a snippet. And again, these are just code snippets that I've copied and pasted so that you don't have to watch me stumble through typing all of this manually. So you'll just want to use code that looks like this, right? So we're defining the update key function, which is being called in the onClick event here, and then we're passing in the value, which is pulled out of the value field, so it's the format specifier, and then basically we're finding the object whose identifier is DP1, so that's going to be the dynamic populate extender control, and then calling populate on passing in the value. And so populate is a method on the control, so we don't have to specifically get to that. Populate will ultimately resolve to calling a service method that we'll define momentarily. So next, let's go down to the page a little bit here, and in order to do dynamic population, we're going to have something that we want to populate. So let's add a panel. So go down into the standard tab of your Visual Studio Toolbox and grab a panel control. Put that on the page. I'm going to get rid of the standard height and width because we're going to use cascading style sheets. And this panel is, we'll just leave the name as panel 1, but let's add a CSS class reference. And if we hop into that stylesheet.css file that we included, you can see that we have dynamic populate and dynamic updating. So let's use dynamic populate normal as the normal CSS class to establish the look and feel. Now notice I'm not going to put any content specifically in this panel. This panel is going to be dynamically updated by our dynamic populate extender. So let's go ahead and add the dynamic populate extender. So if we go down to the Ajax Toolkit tab in my Visual Studio Toolbox, I can find the dynamic populate extender, drop an instance on the page. This is just telling me that the toolkit DLL already existed in my bin directory. And remember we wanted to name this DP1. Now I'm naming this DP1 because my JavaScript function is looking for DP1. So it's, you know, this find resolves the control identifier, so they need to be the same. Right? Next, we want to specify the target control ID. Right, so the target control ID is panel 1. That's where the content is going to be placed. And next we need to define the service method, where we're actually going to go get that content. Now, the service method is going to be a web service call of sorts. And we're going to define it in just a moment. But the one that we're going to define will call get.html. So remember, this service method, we haven't built it yet, but that's what it's going to be called. Next, we want to specify updating CSS class, so we want to be able to specify a different look and feel for our panel depending on whether the content is sitting there or we're fetching new content. So if we hop back into our CSS file, we can grab the correct name, dynamic populate underscore updating, and we'll pop that in. Right. Now, so where we're at so far is we have this exclusive list, mutually exclusive list of radio buttons. A selection in this radio button calls the JavaScript function update key and passes in whatever the value for the radio button is. That update key method goes and finds the dynamic populate extender, which we have named DP1, and calls the populate method, passing in the value that came out of the radio button, and we've specified that the target control is panel 1 and that the service method is get.html. So you can understand here that there is an implicit relationship between the populate method that we call in JavaScript and the service method, which is where the content that will be used by populate is derived from. So what we need here then is we need to define the define that get.html web service. So we're going to define this as a page method, and if you've watched the other How Do I videos, you've already had a fairly detailed introduction to page methods. But in short, page methods are web service calls that can live not in a separate ASMX file, but simply in the ASPX page that's going to call them. And this is a clever construct by the AJAX development team, because sometimes you don't want to separate the page from its service methods. You may have a service method that's going to return data, usually markup, to your web page, but it's never going to be called any place other than from the page that's going to use the content. So why have a separate ASMX file and a code behind and that additional layer of complexity? Why not just define a web service method in the page that's going to use it? And that's what service methods allow you to do. So I'm going to use this code snippet. You can see the service method in its entirety is not very big. And then we'll have a look briefly at what it does here. So here's our function or method, get.html, and it has to be declared as public and shared in VB. It's also static in C#. This bit of code here, this sleep method call, is just adding a 5-second delay, right? So it's simulating network latency. Make sure you don't leave this line of code in if you put something like this into production. And we're dimming up string as a value, and then we're looking at context key, which is the input, right? So the input method, this is the value that originates here in the radio button values. So it's saying if it's you, then create a formatted representation of the current date and time. And remember, this is a server-side method using UTC now. If it's not a you, the radio button value wasn't a you, then take whatever the radio button value was, use date time now, and then format the results from date time now based on whatever the value of the radio button was. And then we're just going to create a little HTML markup right? So we're going to specify the font and the type style that we want to use, and then we'll pass in the entire formatted date time value. And then we'll just return that. And because this is the method that we specified down here in the dynamic populate extender's service method attribute, then what gets returned from that will be put into the HTML element of the target control. Now we can go ahead and run our application. As it comes up, note that we have the normal time formatted by format by default. If I pick short date, remember there's that little half second delay in there. And as we click each of the radio buttons, we get the formatted time. And remember what's happening here, that this is actually being generated on the server and forwarded as HTML, which is why we get this sort of bold and larger markup with different font. But that's it. That's all it takes to use the dynamic populate extender to implement dynamic partial page updates on your ASP.NET pages without having to manually write the network callbacks and content assignments in your client-side code.